before the children go, we're going to have a time of prayer. I don't know what's on your hearts this morning, and I know that God knows the desires of our hearts. He hears us. He's with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. So just as we go to prayer, why don't you just quiet your heart and just think upon those things that you need God to hear you pray for. So let's just pray and then we'll send the kids out. Lord, I just want to say thank you so much for Chris this morning, because I know that you have stretched him. And God, that is a good thing. Because, Lord, we need to be ready. We need to be prepared to do the things that you want us to do. And that took a lot of guts to do what he just did. So thank you. Bless him for that, Lord, I pray. And, Lord, for Roy, he has things on his heart this morning that are troubling him. I pray that with your compassion and your mercy and your grace, you would just quiet Roy's heart. Let him know, Lord, that you are here and that you love him and that he can just depend on you for everything. Lord, I don't know the concerns of this congregation or the thoughts that are on their hearts right now. For those who may need a touch from you, God, healing, salvation, Lord, a job, financial needs, possibly marriage problems. God, you know all of these things, and we come before you right now, and we ask, because your Bible clearly says to us, come to me with expectation. So we're doing that this morning. We're coming, and we're saying, Lord, hear us. Hear our cries. Hear the desires that are in our hearts, those needs. And Lord, we know that you will meet us. And sometimes, even though that answer is no, we are okay with that, because we know that you have the greater plan. For Jeremiah 29 and 11 states that, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm, plans for a hope and a future. So Lord, I pray for this congregation, for those who are here, and those who are possibly absent due to illness today, that you would meet their needs, heal them, transform them, and continue to love on them. Bless the children as they go and those who are teaching them. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So Kathy just did my prayer, so thanks. Love you.
My apologies.
However, we are gathered here in his presence. He is our most high God, and he's here with us. So we all have stresses and thoughts, like Kathy said. We have things that are on our minds, things that are bothering us, worries, whatever those things are. We need to give them all to him, because he wants us to give all of our burdens and all of our worries, because he's the only one that can handle it. We cannot do this on our own. I wanted to read Psalm 139, again, a very familiar passage. I'm just going to read the first 10 verses, because it sort of struck me as I was preparing for today. He really does know us, and he knows everything about us. And even though we may be being stretched out of, you know, whatever comfort zone that we're currently in, he has a plan for us, as Jeremiah 29:11 says. He has a plan, and he knows what he wants us to do. He knows it before we know it, obviously, and we just need to trust in that. Psalm 139 says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." So, Father God, we have come to worship you here in this place. And we thank you for that opportunity and the freedom that we have to gather in your name. because we know that in so many places around the world, people are being persecuted just for knowing you and believing in you. So we thank you for this place. We thank you that we can come to you to bring worship and praise to you. And Heavenly Father, each of us has something on our heart that only you know about. And I pray that you would ease those burdens, whatever they are. I pray for each one seated here today, that they would feel your presence and be lifted up. And in this quiet space, let's just take a moment in silent reflection and give that burden or that stress, whatever is on your heart today, and give it to Jesus. Father God, you've heard the prayers of your people and of Roy. And we thank you for listening. And we thank you for your continued presence by your Holy Spirit. And sometimes, Lord, it seems we focus on those burdens because they seem so numerous and at times overwhelming. But we all have something, hopefully probably more than a few things, that we need to thank you for and to give you praise for. So let's take a moment and think of our blessings and think of the wonderful things that God is doing for us and through us. Lord, we have felt your presence here today. Continue to be with us in our time together and take us into this next week with a renewed sense of your Spirit within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as you probably guessed, Keith is not here. So, we have the lovely Kathy again. She's going to give us a message that the Lord has laid on her heart to share with us today. So, Kathy.
Well, good morning. What a beautiful, beautiful song to segue into what I want to speak to you about today. Sorry.
They're not doing anything.
There we go.
Beautiful song to segue into what I want to speak to you about today. If you haven't figured it out by now, from a few times that I've spoken here, I have a gift that they would call evangelism and encouragement. And sometimes it's a difficult thing because God has also blessed me with discernment along with that. And he takes me places sometimes where I have no idea where I'm going to end up until that moment. And it's a beautiful thing. And I do not take any credit for any of that, but I give all the credit to God. So my message that God has laid on my heart for you this morning is called, Are You Willing? And it comes from this one very simple passage, Mark 10 and 28, where Peter said, we have left everything to follow you. Now there's a lot of scripture that precedes and follows that, but that is the absolute line that I want you to take home with you today. We have left everything to follow you. And where I want to go with you today is I want to share just a few things, 3 points to be exact, that I want you to walk away with. Following, being still and listening, and going. So if that's all you take that scripture verse and those three statements with you. I want to start this morning by saying this to you. I've had the privilege of speaking at a youth camp, and I will never forget one of the stories that the youth shared with me. You may have heard it. It's about a young boy that's walking on a beach. And he's got miles and miles of beach before him. And on this beach, he sees thousands of starfish that have been washed ashore. And he just continues to walk down this beach and bend down and pick up these starfish and toss them back into the ocean. Because he recognizes and realizes that the tide is going out.
And if you were to leave these starfish where they were, the hot sun at noon would simply burn them up, take life from them. So he continues to walk down amongst these starfish and to toss them one by one, hoping to make a difference in each one's life. Well, a few moments later, another gentleman, an older gentleman, is walking down the beach, and he sees in the distance this young boy doing this, but he can't figure out from a distance what is going on. So he approaches the young boy, and he watches him for a moment, and he says, "Young man, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm trying to make a difference." And he said, "You have mile upon mile of beach. How would you possibly make a difference?" And the young boy looked up at him and he said, "It is hot. And with the tide going out, I'm afraid that my life will be lost." And he at that moment reached down, picked up another starfish, tossed him into the waves in the ocean and said, "But for that one, I did make a difference." When I heard this young person share that with me in New Brunswick at a camp, I thought, how does that relate to our lives and what we're doing or what we're not doing? So I would say to you this morning, are you willing? Are you willing to make a difference in somebody's life who perhaps you don't even know yet as you walk through the streets of Newmarket? Or perhaps when you're on vacation somewhere where you don't even know anybody? Are you willing to make that difference? So as I said, there's 3 points. It takes following, it takes being still and listening, and it takes the actual action of going. I want to share what happened to us in our life, and this is a bit of a difficult story, to be honest with you, to share because it's very dear to our hearts. My husband came to the Lord a little bit later in life, and his parents were not from a Christian upbringing at all themselves. And so to see them without the Lord and us very actively serving the Lord could be very difficult at times. And Dave and I had the opportunity to go down south this past winter for a bit of a respite. And we had the chance to sit in on an incredible sermon under the preaching of a very gifted man. And he, in his preaching, talked about this. He said he could not sleep the night before he had to preach. And he said he got up at 2 o'clock in the morning and he just went outside and he was walking back and forth on his lawn and he looked up because he wanted to see the Big Dipper and he just could not find it. And he said, "It's such a clear night. Like, where is it, Lord?" And he said he could literally hear the Lord's whisper, "Turn around." So he turned around, he did a 180, and he looked up in the sky and there was the Big Dipper. And he said, "Lord, what a beautiful example of what we need to do in our lives sometimes. We need to look up and we need to turn the other direction, do that 180, and make sure that we're actually following Him. Are we facing the right direction in our life? Are we following the call or the little nudge that Jesus is giving to us? What direction are you facing today? Are you able to accomplish what Christ wants you to do in the direction that you're currently facing? Or are there possibly changes that you need to make in your life? Is there something you need to put down? Is there the cross that you need to pick up, to carry, to follow Him?" In this passage where we are told these words, "We have left everything to follow you," it's a difficult thing for us to imagine today, to give up things to follow Him. Possibly money. It happened biblically. Tax collector. In Luke 5, a tax collector had much to give up, yet he gave all to follow Christ. Some were asked to say goodbye to their families and follow Him. They were asked to give up all. Now, I don't believe that Jesus is saying to us, give up all, give your house away, give your money away, give your car away, give this away, give that away. However, He might be. For some, He does. I know a missionary who was called to give all up and to leave this country to go and serve him. But we need to listen. We need to follow him in the direction that he is calling us to follow him. And this is a beautiful thing. I want to say this to you. There is such hope when we give all up to follow him. When the Lord called me into full-time ministry, it was a very frightening thing because I was working for Durham District School Boards with special needs children. And all my friends thought I was crazy. You're going to give up that income for what? And I said, to serve him. And for the first 15 years, 5 years, we were not paid. The following 10, I worked 60 hours a week and was paid half-time salary. God provided. He provided all of our needs, and he took us to places where we would not even imagine we would ever go. God will meet your needs, and God will use you, and there's such incredible hope. I 100% believe that. He will not leave you, he will not forsake you, and for those that do choose to live a life, turn that 180 and follow him, there is such beauty. For in Luke 18:29 it says, that not one who has left things behind for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive more than the ages to come, eternal life. What a beautiful thought. He will meet our needs here and now, and then he will give us what we don't even deserve, eternal life. So examine your life. Look at your heart. Allow God to look into your heart. Do not allow those things that are hindering us, you, to do what God wants you to do. So this is following. And then I say to you, you need to be still and you need to listen. It's a very easy thing to say, I am going to follow Christ and I am going to pray and I'm going to read the scriptures and I'm going to just look like this Christian that is so awesome. But then it's another thing to actually sit in his stillness and his quietness and to hear what it is that he's calling us to do, to follow him in the ways that he wants us to follow him. And there have been many times where I admit I've argued with God. When he told me I was supposed to go back to school, I said, are you kidding me? You want me to what? And I knew that I had to be obedient. There was times when he asked me to go places where I was terrified to go. But once I got there in the midst of it, his protection was so incredible. For in the face of all things, he is with you. But take that time, find that place where you can be still and you can listen, and then you will hear it. Now, some people will say to you, but what do you mean you actually heard from the Lord? It can be anything. Like, you may say to the Lord, I leave this before you, and God, I really need to hear from you. And it might be that you turn the radio on, and in that hour of travel, you hear the exact thing you were asking for, say, 3 times mentioned. It may be that 3 different people come to you within that day and talk to you about that very, very thing. I can remember a time in my ministry where I was very discouraged. And I said to the Lord, if this is where you truly want me to remain, I was on my knees before him. I said, I need to hear from your people. And in that time period before the sunset, from the time I was on my knees in that morning to the sunset, I received 7 emails and visits in my office. God knew it was that day. He sent those people to be the encouragement. So as you follow, listen, hear, and then go. So this is a story I want to share with you this morning that's a little bit difficult. But Dave's father was a bit of an angry man at times. And I remember the day that Dave received Christ. He came to me and he was so angry with me. Because he said, how could you allow my son to come to Christ? What is going to happen in his life now? So I remember just saying to him, I will pray for you, I will be with you, and we'll work through these things. To make a long story short, for years he did not follow the Lord. He watched the example of our family and our children, and he became very ill. He was in the hospital, and he was losing his memory. He was not understanding all things anymore, and we were serving in a meeting where I was a pastor, and we walked in. I remember that Saturday night very clearly when I said to the Lord, I need to hear from you. God, I need to hear from you about what I'm supposed to do about Dad. I don't know why it was so impressed on my heart that Saturday night, but it was. And I said, Lord, I promise you, when you ask me to go, at that moment, I will go. We went into church the next Sunday, and it was an unusual Sunday because our lead pastor was doing the sermon. We had a worship team that did not include us. I didn't have to teach children's ministry, so it was actually a Sunday where I just got to kind of sit and bask in the Lord. We finished worship, we sat down, and it hit me. I could hear the Lord saying to me, go now. Go to the hospital. The time is right. And I'm like, if the pastor's just getting up to preach, Lord, I can't go. And he's like, go. I turned to Dave and I said, we have to leave. He's like, what? And I turned to my pastor, my senior pastor's wife, who happened to be sitting beside us, and I said, we have to go, and I'll call you later and explain what's happened. And she's like, all right. So we got up, we got our kids, we left. On route to Fort Perry, I prayed. I said, Lord, he doesn't even know who we are. He's in a room with three other men. God, I don't know what I'm going to do here. And he just brought a peace and a stillness like I could never imagine. But I knew that I prayed the night before. And I knew that I had listened, and I had heard him. We got to the hospital. There was nobody else in the room. It was Father's Day. All the other men had been taken home for the day with their families. So here I am alone. I asked God, what do you want me to do? There's other people here. Dave knew what was about to happen, so he took his mother for a walk down the hall. And as soon as I walked in that room, Dave's father looked at me and he said, Kath, it is so good to see you. His mind was there. In the moments that followed, tears rolled down his cheeks, and I pulled up a chair and sat beside his wheelchair and held his hand. And I got to hear his life story and the struggles that he went through and why he chose to walk away from church at a young age. We prayed together, we cried together, we laughed together, and then he accepted Jesus Christ. 6 months later, a happy man, somebody who had been transformed by Jesus before our eyes, passed away. But I know where he is today. He's in the arms of Jesus. So when I say to you, can you follow him? Are you willing? It takes prayer. It takes reading the word. It takes that being still and knowing and listening and going. So if you're following him today, I ask you, do you need to make that 180 to truly do what he is asking you to do? Are you continuing to seek him in your life and ask him those questions to say, Lord, I will put it all down. I will give it all up to follow you. I don't know where God may be calling any one of you. It could be to your parents' home. It could be to a school in this community. It could be to be a prayer partner in the hospital with someone who was on their deathbed. But if you feel that little pump in your heart, that pounding, that God is asking you to go deeper and to pick up your cross and follow him, I would say to you, please do it. Do not deny him. Because what he gives us in all of these things is such a beautiful life that is filled with hope. not only a hope for our future, but a hope for the people's lives that we touch and for their futures. Matthew 28:18-20, I'm sure you know it, the Great Commission. Allow me to read it for you, please. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all commands that I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Shall we take a moment and pray just before we go into communion? Our Heavenly Father, it is such a simple verse that you have given us in Mark. Lord, when Peter said, "We have left everything to follow you," God, we have no idea what you have in store for us today or tomorrow, this moment, or 10 years from now. But Lord, we're willing. We are willing to put down those things that you ask us to, and to be still, and to hear, and to go. Lord, you are amazing, for you have created each one in this room in such a unique and beautiful way. And Lord, I know that there are servants that are sitting in this room who are probably saying, "Really? You want me to do that?" God, I just pray for your empowerment, your encouragement. Lord, the knowledge and the wisdom they will require to go. Lord, may you be lifted high, so that in this world, as servants, we will help others come to you, so that they too will find the grace, the mercy, and the love that you have to offer. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. I know there are some that have been asked to come and help with communion today, and I'm just going to ask for those people to come forward at this moment, please. At this time, we're going to prepare for communion, and I'm just going to ask my husband if he would mind giving a prayer for the elements today, just thanking God for my distress.
Father, we love you so much. We thank you for all you do in our lives every day, Lord. We take a lot of it for granted, and we're sorry for that. And at this time, we come to you to remember what you've done, how you died on the cross and your blood was shed for us, Father. And we remember that, Lord. And it's significant because we need to do this on a regular basis to remember. And we thank you for today, Lord, that it's a day where we can do that. And we pray you just bless us, Lord. Thank you so much for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name.
I know at our congregation, our lead pastor always just wants to remind us at this time before we go into a time of communion how precious it is. It's a moment where we remember the blood that was shed and the body that was broken of our Lord and Savior. What a gift that God gave in his Son to each and every one of us. I just also want to remind you of the importance of this time that we share together. And I would just say this, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus, if you are walking with him and you have belief in him, that this time is for you. If you haven't yet made that decision, Scripture lets us know in a very gentle way that maybe this is time to allow the plague to pass by and to allow your heart to be opened up to receive him as Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of your life. So I'm just going to ask if our people that are helping, and thank you so much for your help this morning, would just stand, and then we're going to distribute. As the elements are distributed, I would ask you that you would hold on to them until all of us have received, and then we will partake of the element that represents the body of Christ at the same time. It is at this time when we hear these words, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake together. Likewise, after the bread had been eaten, this was said, "This is the cup, the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord, we just want to say thank you so much that we do not have to bear the things that you have to bear. God, that you are the ultimate sacrifice for all of our sins, past, present, and future. Lord, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your blessing, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. I'm just going to call the worship team. Thank you for coming up. I just wanted to say to you what a privilege it's been to be amongst you again. And I want to say this to you. There are many starfish waiting for you in the town of Newmarket. Are you willing? Are you willing to go and to make a difference in at least one of those people's lives? I pray that you are. May the Lord bless you as you sing this last song, and I will come back up to pray with you before we head out. But thank you for being a blessing. Thank you for your encouraging smiles, and may God bless you as you seek him and follow him in all that you do. And as we go, can we go with these words, please, from 1 Thessalonians 3:11-13. "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of God and the Father and the Lord Jesus as he comes with all his holy ones." May God bless you and encourage you today as you go. Know that there is a hope, and know that you are a part of his plan. Go and make a difference.